Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Welcome to Queer Storytime, the podcast. This is a brave space for sharing queer and trans stories of radical affirmation, acceptance, empowerment, and healing. I'm your host, Stevie Ingram. I so look forward to you joining us. If you haven't done so already, please be sure to subscribe to this podcast. Alrighty, y'all, queer in 3, 2, 1. Let's go. Hey, y'all. Welcome to episode number 8 of Queer Storytime, the podcast. As always, I am so glad to have you back here. And today I have a super fiery special guest that I love. I had her on Queer Storytime in the original iteration of it on Instagram Live about 3 or 4 years ago. So before I introduce today's guest, as always, we will come into a comfortable seated position to just practice a moment of mindfulness and peace. So I invite you into a comfortable seat. As you find your comfortable seat, begin bringing your inner awareness to the breath. Taking a deep breath in and a long, deep breath out. Just gently watching the breath as you inhale and exhale. It may be helpful to some of you as you inhale and exhale to say, breathing in, I know that I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know that I'm breathing out. Just taking a couple more mindful breaths here. Noticing as you inhale and exhale that the mind begins to settle, the body begins to settle, and you enter a state of presence and ease. Of course, these effects can be felt more with longer practice. But my intention for this is just to bring us into the present and to allow us to hold space for this guest on Queer Storytime. Take one more deep breath here. And a big exhale out through the mouth. And as you're all ready, you can begin gently opening your eyes and bringing your awareness back into the space that surrounds you. So now to introduce today's fabulous guest. Garland Guidry is a trans woman, a hairstylist, author, motivator, and consultant. She's originally from Louisiana, but has been residing in Los Angeles for 11 years. She's currently in a long-term relationship and enjoys cooking, hanging out with friends, going to the movies, and traveling. And she's also a fellow pastor's kid, of which I'm sure we will talk about on today's episode. So welcome, Garland, to Queer Storytime. So why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your life journey thus far?
Well, I'm glad that you added in that I'm a preacher's kid as well. I was actually thinking about it when you invited me to be on here, and then I'd already forgotten. So I'm glad Glad you mentioned that. And I just want to say thank you too for having me on your podcast. I told you that it's been a while since I talked about my transness, and I was like, I need to get back to that. So thank you for holding this space for the LGBTQ plus community. Yes. Yeah, so as you said, I am originally from Louisiana. I did come up in a home with a father who was a pastor. So that made things a little bit challenging for me fully coming into myself. There was always something that I knew, like I describe it as a disconnect. I knew there was a disconnect. And also, I found out later after my father passed away when I was 16, that his brother told me that my dad recognized something different about me, but I'm a child of the 70s. And so, of course, you know, my dad is even an older school person. And so he didn't know what to do with me. I say my dad didn't know what to do with me. My brothers didn't know what to do with me. So the first men in my life, I didn't really get the nurturing and support from. But I was lucky and blessed to have the women in the family who basically scooped me up and nurtured me in a way that I felt was natural anyway. I never liked living where I lived in Louisiana. I really didn't like Louisiana. I always felt like I was ahead of my time. As I was told from older people, they would tell me I was ahead of my time. And I knew I needed to be somewhere bigger. I tried New York in my early 20s. It was a little bit too much for me. When I came to California for a visit, I realized that it felt more my speed. And so, yeah, so I've been here. This year makes officially 11 years that I've been here. And I actually started my transition, like my outward transition, I like to say, because I was always transitioning inwardly. Started my outward transition when I moved here. And I forgot to check the date because I did a YouTube video on when I popped that first estrogen pill. But I think I'm going on 10 years now. This year will be 10 years that I have been on hormone replacement therapy. Then I wrote a book. Since I moved here, I wrote a book called Memoirs of a Gay She. And now I've been holding on to this book for a long time. It's called My Romance, His Friendship. I'd forgotten when I was filling out your form to put that on there, because one of the reasons, probably the second reason, was to introduce this book because it's talking about an experience I had in the beginning stages of my outer transition of hanging out with this guy who was like the first guy that I really like fell in love with, coming fully into my womanhood. And it's something that I actually decided I'm going to do a really nice dedication to the trans community, because people fail to realize that we're human beings. And no matter what label we have attached to us, is that when it comes down to matters of love, you don't know the difference. And so I'm excited to introduce this book this year. So that's about it for right now.
Can you tell us a little bit more about this book? It sounds fascinating.
Yes, I would love to. So first of all, I was so excited because I'll give a little backstory as to why I say I was transitioning inwardly first, because I believe that I came on this planet as someone who was very attached to spirituality. And then if there was a contract made before I came here, I must have said, well, I also want to be in an environment that nurtures that, right? And so I'm very grateful that I came up. I know a lot of people in the community have turned against religion and or God because of the way they was treated. But for me, it was a different experience. Like I always felt like I had a connection with something higher. So I was here in physicality, but I was always in the heavens. And so I knew in elementary school, you know, as soon as I could think that something was different about me, I could feel my femininity, you know, I could feel that energy within myself. And I was confused as to when they would say, okay, the boys go over here and the girls go over here. I mean, I know that I was told I was a boy, so I'd go by the boys, but that's not where I felt like I belonged. And so for a lot of years, I toiled with inwardly understanding who I am in the body that I was born in. And I did that for a long time. And I was in my late 30s when I moved to California. But by the time I had done all the work trying to figure out like what my femininity meant to me, what it means to me being a woman. And then I realized that being trans or whatever I identified as at the time was just a small part of who I am, and that I was much bigger than that. And that what I really needed to figure out was how to get along with people as I moved through this earthly experience. And I focused on that. And then before I stepped into doing the outward transition, I didn't even realize that I had finally came to this place, because people used to always ask me, even when I was a kid, like, are you a boy or a girl? Are you gay? Are you this? All these that, you know, I didn't understand what they saw. I knew what I felt, but I didn't know that that was coming forward. And so I had that for a long time. And then I finally came to this place where I was like, you know what? I'm more she than he. You know, then it came to a point where time was changing again and people would ask me, well, what do you prefer to be called, he or she? And I was like, oh, nobody's ever asked me that before. The first time I said he, and then the second time somebody asked me, I said, she is fine. And from there, I was like, okay, well, I knew I was moving to California. And I said, okay, when I go to California, I'm going to identify as she, but I still didn't understand what was happening, right? Because I was still doing the internal work, right? So externally, I didn't feel like I was showing or presenting as much femininity as I felt inwardly, right? So I cultivated that. So by the time I like to say it this way, by the time I popped that first little estrogen pill, the outward process was very seamless. So when I got here, I hadn't quite started the hormone replacement therapy, but I ended up meeting a guy through a mutual friend who I was highly attracted to. And we spent 8 months together, like hanging out. He was doing everything. I mean, there was no misgendering. Everything that he did and every aspect of our connection was male, female. And it was such a beautiful thing because I needed that validation as I was going through the process, right? And he honored that. It felt like he honored that. And just like any other woman, he was enjoying the feminine energy, but he wasn't interested in having anything more than a friendship. And we spent 8 months before I was the one to finally ask, like, what are we doing? Like, I've slept in the bed with you. You fed me food while I'm cleaning your bathroom. You know, we've had adventures together and all of this stuff. And I'm falling in love. And you're like, just trying to have a friendship. I'm like, you know, what the fuck? So that's why I call it my romance, his friendship, because when it finally hit the fan, he said something like, you know, I was being delusional and he wasn't leading me on, whatever. And I got so angry. And then I realized, I was like, well, just because he was having a friendship doesn't mean that I wasn't having a romance. And so this doesn't negate what was happening for me. And then that's when I settled down and I just, you know, yielded to the fact that for me, it was a love story, you know? And so I talk about in the book, I talk about how sometimes we are the rejected and sometimes we are the ones who are doing the rejecting. I started off like that before I lead into the story of me and this guy. And it's so amazing. And again, why I wanted to introduce it here is because I was like, you know, I really want this book to be supported by the community, because I really want people in the community who are still struggling or challenged with not feeling like a part of society and just a normal fucking human being, that this book will show you that, hey, look, we get to do, when we come into this place, I was finally feeling like normal because I'd chosen like, hey, I am trans. I accepted it. And then so I was starting to feel like my authentic self. And then I was able to have an experience just like any other girl has had in their lives. Like most girls that I went to school with were always being able to have these kind of connections with guys. And so it was finally my turn and it felt good. And so I want other trans people to see that we're human beings too. We're women, we're just a different kind, but it doesn't exclude us from having those type of experiences that we've seen our peers have who just so happen to not be a part of the community. And, you know, sometimes it takes us a longer time to get to that wholeness of ourselves before we can actually have those kind of experiences. So that's the book.
That is so fascinating. This book sounds phenomenal. I want to read it now when I have time. I mean, my gosh, so much of your story just like resonates with me personally. Like, I think you and I have had a lot of similar experiences in life, just given how we grew up. And then this specifically too, you know, people listening now don't know this, but we... Garland and I, before we started recording, we're talking about girlhood and womanhood and like what that looks like, essentially, of which we might discuss. One of the things that as I myself have transitioned, you know, it's almost as if things start to align, things that you've felt when you were younger, you know, as a young girl in this world, but presenting in a masculine way because of how we were assigned at birth. You have these feelings for boys and our culture says, no, this isn't appropriate, you know, and then as you transition and more men start becoming more attracted to you, the more feminine you become. One of the realities that I've mentioned is that many, especially many straight men, given all the narratives going on in our society right now, almost feel this inward level of shame about them being attracted to a trans woman, like somehow they're less of a man, that somehow they're less of a straight man, you know, all of these narratives, which it sounds to me like in the story that you were telling, that that was probably part of the narrative that was going on in his mind, was that, you know, he honored and respected you outwardly, but when it came to that inner landscape of his, there were very clearly things that he was butting up against and couldn't take that step forward to be in that romantic relationship with you. And I see that that is so common. So if there's any straight men listening, I don't know how many straight men listen to Queer Story Time, but if you are listening, like this is very much a thing that trans women specifically experience. I know that for sure. So do you have any thoughts or insights on that as well?
I do. You know, you provoked that in me. First of all, how I love that you made that assessment of knowing that what he was coming up against, right? But now in the mature stage that I'm at, because I have to say that when we first start our transition, we're just a bud. Right. We think because we're an adult now that once we start transitioning that we're right there. We're not. It's a process. We missed the female puberty. And so when we started, I start what, like at 39, I'm 49 now, that I had just started off as a little girl. I was a little trans girl. And there were some things that I had to learn and experience, and it was just at a different stage in my life. And I wish that I had someone that could have told me that, where I could have just really enjoyed that process instead of trying to feel like I had to be like, now I'm a woman and I, you know, and I get to just live my life. Well, it was not that simple. I still have people, you know, clocking me and saying stuff, and it bothered me. And, you know, I had to go through accepting that the boy is still a part of who I am and love him so much because he was the one who fought to get me here. You know, I had to accept all of it in order to get to the space where I'm at now, right? So I just wanted to clarify that. But it's interesting what you said and what you assessed about this guy. His name is Kasten in the book, Kasten Michael. And so Kasten, it's crazy because what he had to deal with was the same thing that my lover of 8 years had to deal with, but only he knew that he wanted me. Like, he knew he wanted to experience this journey with me. So he never, like, pushed me away. And this guy, though, was having the same kind of experience. But when I think about it, and as you were speaking, I thought about a conversation that I had with him. He hadn't even been able to have a long-term relationship with cis women. And so he still treated me, you know, even though I'm trans, I still was being treated just like he treated any other cis woman. He couldn't even make it work with them to have a long-term relationship, right? So I could have just been so mad that it was like, well, you just didn't want to be with me because I'm trans and blah, 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 blah. But he really honored that part of me. He was very spiritual, very hippie, very, you know, just metaphysical, spiritual. And so he got it. He got the spirituality of my femininity and who I am. But he had his own issues with connecting with women on that level. Because honestly, not to give too much detail of the book, but at the end, he admitted that me falling for him was something that was so congruent with cis women. He said, because he's like, well, while I'm busy trying to just have a friendship, the women have gone through all the process of getting to where they want a relationship, where I was somewhere else. So he did it to me what he did to all the cis women. And so literally, like, I could just be like, okay, well, hey, I was one of the girls, right? You know, like, he wasn't excluding me because I was trans. But in his head, though, and with everything that within himself, that had to be a part of it, right? Because I always say, like, our dating is similar to other women, right? But there is still a little bit of intricacy in us being trans, because the men are still trying to reconcile with themselves, because they're like, I like femininity, I like women, I like what you're presenting, but knowing what I know about gender and all of this stuff, I'm still kind of stuck in that. And so it causes their own confusion with their own identity as men, right? And so I know he had some of that, but it's nice to know that hey, I just got treated just like the other cis women, you know?
Wow. Fascinating story. You know, in my transition, it's been just an uncovering of, I mean, not only, of course, my own identity, but like an uncovering of societal and like gender.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Roles in of manhood and womanhood, and like how those, you know, relationships kind of connect and merge. And it's been fascinating, you know, growing up being assigned male at birth, having all of those expectations associated with you, then having this incongruence, like you said, that you feel inside, while also, you know, pursuing romantic pursuits with men. It's just such a fascinating study of psychology, sociology, human sexuality. Like, there's so many learnings that happen, you know, as trans people. And I think every trans person can acknowledge that it's our individual transition is, yes, the transition is for us to feel embodied within ourselves. But it's also when one trans person comes out, it's a transition period for everyone that surrounds them and everyone that that trans person is in relationship with. So it's just a fascinating thing to witness.
I love the smile you have on your face as you say, because I really wish for all of us who are transitioning in any way that we could truly have that smile on our face as we go through the process, understanding how it's like a domino effect, right? I'll cut that right there, but I just had a thought about my mother. And I remember when I had had enough of her own confusion about it, because I was like, okay, I've given you enough time, right? There does come a point where it's like, okay, I gave you enough time to reconcile this. So now I'm gonna need you to just get on board, right? And so she was like, well, I just remember that, you know, when I had you and they said it, I was like, it's time to let that go. I said, I gave you long enough. I said, I'm not here, because she was like, and she's in Louisiana. And so she's like, well, you're not here. So people are not used to it. I said, and that's why I need you to get on board, because I need you to be the one to tell people and correct people on how the pronouns they're using on me. So that way, when I come home, I don't have to be bothered with that, because I don't want to do that anymore. Right. So there's even a process of where I gave people the room and the space for them to get on board. Now, I'm telling you, the people who are in my inner circle, like my, I said, you don't have any time. You got to just make the transition right there. But the people that were outside of that, I knew, like the elders in my family, I knew. And then some of them, they're just not going to do it. I kind of feel bad for them now, because you can hear how they struggle when they say he. They're unsure that they should not have said. So it's like, y'all are still having trouble with this when I'm fine. So like, it doesn't matter whether you say he or she, I have come to know who I am. And if you still having the struggle, then that's on you and not me. I don't have to take that within myself, right? So it's a whole lot that you go through, but I've enjoyed watching you blossom from the first time that you came out. It's nice, because not only is there a softness that happens on the outside, but that softness also comes from within. It won't come forth fully until you really accept yourself here. And the reason why most of us, and me included, have gotten angry with people not recognizing that or speaking to us accordingly to where we are, is because we were still unsure with ourselves. I mean, I've been called he longer than she. I have to get used to hearing that too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. 100%. I still am in a stage in my transition where I'm not quite used to it yet, even though I know that that's what feels right and that's what represents like how I feel inside. That is very real, that even as you outwardly transition, you're still kind of dealing with the repercussions. I don't want to say repercussions, maybe that's too strong of a word, but you know what I mean, that you've lived your whole life being referred to as he, and now people are calling you she. Yeah, it's a very long, even beyond when we physically transition, even beyond the point of which we fully accepted ourselves and fully have stepped into the place of, okay, I can live openly as myself in the world. There's still kind of that like psychological, social, emotional stuff going on that is happening at a slower pace in the background.
Yes. I could not have said it better. I could not have said it better. That was spectacular. I mean, I literally wish we could like rewind this and so I could hear that again. Because yes, it is a slower pace. It's a slower pace of catching up to what you have. Because once you say, okay, I'm trans, and then you start the steps, right? And then there's so much, you know, on the outside that's happening, and that can be quick, right? Because it was, you say, yes, this is who I am. You can go and buy new clothes right away. You can go to a clinic and get your hormones. You know, I'm in California, so it's that easy. You go to the clinic, get your hormones, and you just start all of that really fast. While meanwhile, in the background, like you said, there's this tortoise, you know, trying to catch up with what's happening on the outside.
Yes. And I don't know what that is. I think of the analogy, you know, you live in California, say, for example, you were to fly to the East Coast. There's the analogy that people say, like, when you fly somewhere, your physical body is in that new place, but your soul hasn't caught up to the quickness of your like physical being in that new space. It almost kind of feels like that in a way as a trans person, but it's a little bit different too, because your soul knows that this is who you are. And I think it's that psychological, social, emotional aspect that we're so used to like habitually hearing our pronouns as he or the birth name that we were given. We're so used to hearing those things over a lifespan that essentially have to kind of create new neural networks in your brain. Okay, like this is what we're being called now. These are our actual pronouns, and there is an adjustment period. You know, I'm 2 years into this. I still feel that way. I'm still adjusting, essentially. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that ever goes away, but it's fascinating.
It's individual, right? It's individual. I think for me, and I speak from my own experience, that there's still remnants, but not heavy. And then if someone uses improper, in my family mostly, who use it, or friend, old friends, will use the pronoun he. I don't like to say misgendered. I just realized I don't want to say misgender because I know what my gender is. So I don't know, just because they say he doesn't mean that that's took away anything from me. So I'll say that when if they do say he, I don't feel the impact anymore. Because what happens in my experience and how I can explain it is that I don't think that I ever was trying to dismiss what I was labeled as at birth. I think that I just wanted people to honor what I had made the choice to be at that time. And it just felt like a dishonor whenever they didn't honor that, right? She instead of he. Then, like you said, there's just this whole process of then I had to be empathetic to them, because they had their own process that they had to go through too. And then it releases so many things, right? When you understand, and nobody's like trying to, people who you know love you, they're not trying to hurt you. We're just hoping, or I was just hoping, that someone else could get it as much as I did and then help me to be comfortable with what was new, what I was transitioning into. But unfortunately, most of the time, this work is only ours. And if we don't have these kind of conversations like you and I having, which I know is very poignant and very needed for the trans community, because we don't have like these one particular people to look up to who we can learn from this. And that's why I'll say again, thank you for allowing me to be in this space, because it feels so good. I've been living my life really basically stealth these days. Those who may know me being transgender, nobody mentions it. I don't mention it because it's not an important part for me to talk about anymore in spaces of like me being at work at this job I have. It's never been come out of my mouth. Never come out of anybody else's mouth. As a matter of fact, sometimes you can hear some things where somebody might kind of know, but they might not. And then there's some people who, you know, don't know at all when they start talking about it. Like, you know, when we have our period, you know, I don't say, hold up, I don't have a period. I'm transgender. You know, I don't feel, you know, it's just, I'm at work. And so it feels really good that I've come to that space now where it's something that I don't feel the need that I need to like clarify or talk about, or nobody's ever misgendered me. I'm always, you know, respected as female. And that's ultimately what I wanted anyway. But I am transgender and I'm not ashamed of that. And so I wanted to be in this space to be able to hear myself say this, right? And so other people can also hear it and understand that everybody's journey is different. But if this is the space you want to get in and be at, you can.
Amen. Yeah. And I think our conversation is leading towards spirituality because, you know, as you said at the beginning of this, like so many within our community are kind of forced out of spiritual or religious communities because of the harm that those communities continue to this day to perpetuate on the queer and trans community. But at the same time, I think really one of the only ways that I've found resilience is to maintain my spirituality, and a spirituality that feels authentic to me, you know, so I certainly encourage everyone listening to Queer Storytime, like find something that resonates with you, because it is, you know, as we're talking about in these like interpersonal relationships where we're dealing with family dynamics, like long held, like habitual ways of seeing a particular person in the world. You know, your mother, for example, like knowing you as her son, so to speak, it makes you wonder like what is going through their minds, even though that's not necessarily our responsibility. But then the question for us in the community is like, okay, how can we deal with like that incongruence between a child and a parent and kind of the messiness of that situation in a way that is not toxic? And I think in that layer, so to speak, is where us having connection to something bigger and deeper and more expansive can be really powerful.
I love that. You know, you made me think about how gender is as huge as to our existence as money is on this planet, right? And it occurred to me as you were speaking, I was like, it's really, because I was almost to like compare to, you know, when a kid or a child, you know, they decide to kind of, usually the defiant child is, you know, the goth child, right? Like they want to be dark, everything dark, right? But then I was like, no, that's not even the same as when it comes down to gender. When you are labeled female or male, you've already been decided how life is going to be for you. It's already set. It's all the map. All the people before us, all the men before us, it has been decided, right? I'll give an example. I remember in junior high, I was coming behind my brothers who played sports and stuff. And I remember like, God, they're going to think another Guidry boy is coming to play football. So now I'm embarrassed because they call my name out. They're looking for me. And then they look, and coaches looked at each other. I was very keen on seeing people's reactions to me because nobody told me I couldn't be feminine. So I was blessed with that. So I was feminine from a very early age, and it just matured and cultivated over time because I had no hindrance with that. So I knew when they saw me, it would be clear that I wasn't playing football. And so that's part of what I'm saying. Like it's been chosen for you. Once you're, oh, there's another Guidry boy coming. That's right. So that's like gender is so important, and to come into yourself, whatever. Now we know how broad the spectrum is on gender, and whatever you lay or if you'd hop around, it's important just to be sure wherever you land that you're comfortable with that, because we do live in a society that judges us or treats us a certain way based on how we look, based on how we identify, based, you know, so we have to have that spiritual part, whether you want to deny it or not is up to you. But in the denial of it does not help you to come to the peace of accepting fully who you are. People don't even know energetically they have to honor you, because they see something and feel something authentic, whether they believe in energy or not, it's real. Like you were talking about how that connection to certain things, when you travel from one place, your energy is still left behind. So it takes a little bit time to catch up. And so that's the same with how we proceed in our lives. Everything is energy. How we show what we're doing right now. And because we are so aligned, and we knew that prior to this conversation that we were aligned, we didn't have to have like a whole bunch of things to say before, because we already knew energetically from the previous time that we were going to flow in this conversation. And so energy is something that people are talking about more. But as I continue on my journey, I understand like just how clear, like for me, it's never about anything what somebody's doing. It is always the energy behind it that I feel. Mm-hmm. So if I'm spiritually connected to something higher than me, and I'm connected and plugged into that energy source, mm-hmm. and that is the source from which I come, and present myself in this body, right? I'm about to start preaching now. That means that I am unstoppable. I don't care if I'm on the L, if I'm on the G, if I'm on the B, on the T, the Q, the plus. You have to honor me because of the way I show up and because what I'm plugged into.
Damn, honey. We got two pastor's kids preaching today. Oh my God. Yes. Fucking fire. We can end the episode now.
Listen, honey, when I saw your post, and it was funny, and then I went back because I kind of read your story, and then I went back, and I looked up and I said, she has just certain people tagged into this. And then I had a moment, I was like, okay, well, she tagged me in this. That was an energetic sign for me. And I just knew, like, right then, and like, I went back and I read it again, and that's when I was asking you some questions because I was just like, okay, like, I know I want to do this. I just want to see, you know, how things flow and all this stuff. And then here we are, you know.
Here we are.
You put out the signal. You put out the signal. And I took it. And I'll just say about energy, because while we're having this conversation, I have my pull-down bar came down. And one of my friends that we've was friends forever, and so now we only touch base every now and then. There was a time where I had messaged her and she said, I was thinking about you. She likes to test things like this. She said, I was thinking about you, but I said, I'm not going to reach out. I'm going to see if she reaches out to me first, right? Mm-hmm. And so this morning, I kid you not, I thought about her and I sent out some vibes. I said, well, I hope everything is well. And if it is not, I hope that you are getting the lesson and learning what you need to learn from it or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I promise you, the pull down bar came down. It was her asking me how I was
doing. Yes.
So at this point in stage in my life and why I wanted to be here is because I'm in full alignment, not only with my gender identification, my sexuality, but I am so aligned with God right now that I keep just getting those kind of signs. And I wanted to introduce this book. I've been holding on to this book actually for about 8 or 9 years. Mm. When it was over, I put it all down. And just to give the tea, because I know the girls like this, is that I have all the original text messages and emails in this story. So it's almost like, it's kind of gossipy, but a learning thing, kind of, it'll put you in an anticipatory space, right? Because you want to know what happened. And then you kind of look and you're like, yeah, he did that. No, he was clearly, you know, you can judge whether or not he was actually really wanting something more or not. I still don't know because I don't want to assume what he really actually was thinking. But I still, in my own experience, when every time I've read it, I've always felt like he wanted to, he just wasn't there yet. He wasn't far enough along and being comfortable with opening his mind, his body, his spirit to a transgender woman.
Is this a different man than we were talking about?
No, this is the same. This is Michael. And so I just feel like in this book that it allows people to be able to make their own decision about whether or not they thought that he really actually wanted something more or if he was just unsure. You know, it's pretty cool, especially just to know that those emails and text messages, I did not alter those at all.
Wow.
I left those the way it is, you know, and then I just wrote about what I was feeling and all the, you know, back and forth and the emotions and, you know, liking, wanting more, but not wanting more because he's cis presenting or acting. And so it just kind of cat and mouse kind of story, right? And then, of course, then it just rounds off into its finale. So I'm excited about that and to present that to the community. I'm excited about making a dedication to our community, the trans community, with this book.
Well, girl, you know I want the tea, honey, so I'm going to be reading your book.
She's like, yes,
give it to me.
I don't have a date yet for when I'm going to release it. I have to release it soon because things keep coming to me that I want to add. And I think I just need to let it be because I held on to it for so long. But I feel like because everything is in alignment that I had to, you know, it's like I told you, I'm always ahead of my time. And so I feel like this book was ahead of its time when I wrote it and that it needed to wait until this time where people can really receive it. And it's not long, right? So it's easy read and it's fun. And I just think, you know, although I'm all about people, I just had this revelation and I was like, I really feel like the trans community needs some love. They need some love and they need something that's dedicated to them from someone who was there.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Well, when we get to the end of this, I want you to flash the book one more time so people can see it. But my next question on this conversation of spirituality. So you grew up as a Christian pastor's kid, as did I. How would you define your spirituality now?
I like what you said earlier. You said something like where you are now, it's what spirituality is authentic to you.
Mm.
And for me, that's the way I believe it to be. And that's why people in the community have turned away, was because even if they had any kind of feelings, which I believe they all did, because we're all spirit beings and we all have the Holy Spirit within us, even if we don't want to admit that, that's my belief. And I believe that there's always something tugging, no matter how small it is. It might be so small that you can pretend that it doesn't exist, but I believe that the reason why people get so confused is because they think that they're supposed to cookie cut their belief based on the people who are around them, the way they believe or the way they feel like Christianity or being spiritual should be. And even in the spiritual community, there's not a cookie cutter way for us to experience something higher than us. And so I think in my late teens, early 20s, when I discovered self-help books, it felt like that was speaking to what I had believed. So I cultivated that. So even though I was still going to church, I didn't feel like I had to buy everything that the minister was telling me. I had already made the decision within myself that what was for me was for me and what wasn't, wasn't. That never felt right to me when I heard them talking against being gay or whatever. At the time when I was coming, it was always just about being gay. And I just never felt like that was something that was anybody's fucking business. I was like, if you're telling me, in one breath, you're telling me having a relationship to God, so my relationship to God is supposed to be like yours? I didn't believe that. I didn't believe it. I didn't know why I didn't believe it, but I just didn't believe it. And it felt real to me that that was bullshit. But just because that's what you believed didn't make me feel like I couldn't believe something else. So I never, ever thought that God was the problem.
Wow.
I thought it was the people and their interpretations, right? And so I was blessed in that way to have come here attached still to that source enough where I didn't get swallowed by what other people's beliefs were. And so as I kept going along in my process, God placed specific mentors, women in my life who honored where the space that I was in when it came down to spirituality. As a matter of fact, when I was choosing to live authentically under the rainbow, you know, people had a lot of stuff to say that were, you know, in church, the church community. And for me, you know, I defied it. I kept being myself and I had a lot of stuff coming against me with the church community. Because I believed so strongly. Like one night, I remember my brother-in-law was coming over to try to straighten me out. And I remember there was actually a minister, because my mom used to always listen to preachers on TV. So the house was always filled with ministers. And child, I was sitting on the sofa waiting for this guy because I had already decided I had my new boyfriend. He was moving from Colorado and all this. I already knew I'm living my life. And that minister said something that I'll never forget. I was just excited to sit and just listen. And he said, with, girl, like the fear of God, if you believe in something, you will go down believing in it. If you really believe it. And I really believed that who I was who I was at that time. And when, by the time my brother-in-law came, I walked out there and he was trying to find a way that he was going to say, I was like, listen, I don't know what you came here to tell me, but I am gay and I have a boyfriend now and he's moving down here and this is how I'm going to be living my life. Are you finished? What you got to say? Because I need you to sum it up. I was in my early 20s and he probably was in his 40s at the time. And I was, yes, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do, but I felt so good. And that was the first time that I had really stood against the people who say they're Christians trying to get me to be like them. I was like, this is clear that I'm not like you and I'm not going to pretend like I'm something else. And so all of that helped me to really solidify my stance on spirituality and my love for God and just seeing how much an experience and how much more ease I got depending on an entity that dwells inside me and being plugged into that as opposed to people who are here sometimes and not here sometimes, one way one day, another way. I was like, these humans are not reliable. Right. Even the most reliable human being is not, can't always be reliable. You know what I mean? So it was like, I needed something that was going to be reliable for me. And my relationship to that source, it just continues to grow and become the part of me. Like, I feel like I'm embodying that energy. It's much bigger in my life and it keeps getting bigger in my life. And anybody who has any inkling of understanding energy and something beyond can sense and feel that from me. And it's something that most people don't have. They have it, but they don't cultivate it. So it's not big enough to really make a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. Call it God, call it source, consciousness, universe, energy, you know, whatever you want to call it. I think we're all pointing towards the same thing, regardless of the religious tradition behind it or the spiritual tradition behind it. So whatever that is, you know, we got two PKs here encouraging you to get in touch with that as, you know, maybe some older, a little bit more wise adults in the community. So well, my friend, this has been an amazing conversation. I do have more super soul questions for you. This whole conversation has been a super soul conversation. So I knew it was going to be. Unfortunately, Garland and I don't get too much time to chat, but she's a soul sister to me. So the first super soul question is, at this moment in your life, given all of your life experiences, what do you feel that your purpose is?
That's a very good question. I recently decided that just me being here, that I'm on purpose, in purpose. And so I stopped thinking about what is that one particular thing, right? And so I think and believe right now I am on purpose and in purpose being on your podcast and sharing what I shared.
That's really powerful. I love that framing. That's awesome. Number two is, knowing what you know now, what would you tell your younger self about your identity?
You know, that's so funny. I've been seeing some posts like that and I never like stop and think about like what would I tell younger self or whatever. I think I had a brief moment where I thought like, I guess the most thing for me is that I worried a lot. I was a worrier. I was fearful of going against what everybody told me I should be and was supposed to be. So I would just tell that person, that little version of me, to, you know, just don't worry so much. Like, you'll figure it out. Like, have more fun. I didn't have enough fun because I was so busy trying to figure out, like, what does this mean? Like, you know, I'm in fucking elementary school. I'm already understanding that something is different about how I feel as opposed to what people said. It was a lot of, you know, just confusion until it worked me up in my teens and after high school into having panic attacks. And so I was a very worried person, but not about anybody else. I was just worrying about, how am I going to just be able to move in this life without being so scared that I'm doing something wrong for being me? And so I would tell just like, yes, girl, I'm telling my little girl that too.
Like, literally. Ooh, like, that hit deep for me personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had very bad panic attacks in college because of everything that you just stated. Mm-hmm. And that's how I got into, like, the yogic and Buddhist world. You know, that was my path, kind of outside of Christianity, was pursuing that kind of Eastern philosophy. But yeah, completely 100% resonates with me personally. Number three is, what is one thing that you wish others understood about the queer and trans community?
Something that I thought about, that not quite framed from that question, but one of the things that I realized what was so important, and that I think is important for all of us, is just, you don't have to understand everything to be supportive, right? Like, I just wish that people would understand that. You don't have to understand to love me. You don't have to understand to support me and accept me. But part of the journey is going against the tribe, is that, and I was thinking about this today too, is that we all want to belong no matter what. We would not even have the acronyms that we have if we weren't trying to figure out a place for all of us who are on the spectrum to belong. So we want to belong. And so I just wish people would understand more that people who are different from them also just want to belong, just like them. And that we're all human. We're in this together. And that we need to be more kind to each other.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the thing there is, like, this, people have to let go of all of their attachments to the way they expect things to be or the way that they think things should be, especially in regards to their children. And that's a lifelong practice, like, letting go of all of those rigidities, I would say, that keep others in our lives from feeling that sense of belonging. That's a really profound statement. You know, all of us want that, but there are circumstances and conditions, especially in the queer and trans community, that don't allow us to experience that. Mm-hmm. So that's something really great, actually, that you just stated, I think is really great for parents, any parents or family members of queer and trans people that are listening, to really sit with that and think about that. Because all of us as human beings do want a sense of belonging. So what can we do within ourselves to create the conditions where other people in our lives can actually feel that and experience that? Yeah. All right. Number four is, what would you say to all of the lawmakers globally that are creating laws against us?
Oh my God. Wow, I've never been asked that question before. And it's funny too, and I'm going to say this on your podcast, since you had the audacity to ask me that I have decided that this year that I didn't want to have anything to do with politics anymore. I'm tired of the game. It's destructive and it's old. And I was about to say, I don't really know what to do and how I can be a part of this change, but I'm doing that right now. Because what I believe is that most of those people who, and even if they have good intentions, once they get into places of these higher political statures, they end up just succumbing to the game because there's a specific way it's played. And it's hard for them to get in position of being able to truly make change because that's not how it was set up. And I don't know how to dismantle it. All I think about is when segregation was a thing that all the Black people did. I forget what it's called when you stop going to the grocery stores and you stop, you know, going supporting local businesses and all of this stuff. It was like, okay, well, we got to make a change because they're a big part of the businesses being supported, which is what this whole U.S. wants, is money to be flowing through. So how dare you tell me because I'm Black that I can't sit in the front of the bus or in the front of the restaurant when my money is the same money that you use? And you want me to come here and spend your money, but you dare tell me that there's something wrong with me and I have to be mistreated when you need my dollar to flow through this economy just like everybody else's. Right. And so I don't have an opinion about what the lawmakers need to do, but what I do hope is that one day we are strong enough within ourselves to say, you know what? I'm not spending my money at these places anymore. I'm not supporting this. Nobody's going to vote. We're just going to shut the shit down because they can't do nothing without us.
Right.
And yet and still, these other people who are going to show up to vote to do their American duty, they're voting for the wrong things. They're voting against the wrong things. They're not realizing that, hey, if you're taking away my rights, that yours are going to be taken away too at some point. Nobody is safe here. The lawmakers are not understanding the totality of it all because it's like, if you keep trying to do this and then you destroy everybody, who do you have to rule in the first place? So, I mean, we do need laws. We do need some relegations, but we do not need you to tell me that I can't sleep with who I want to sleep with. I don't need you to tell me that I can't have an abortion if I feel like that's the path for me. I do not need you to regulate my life in that way, right? And so what I wish is that in this conversation and many more to be had is that people hear it and they start just becoming truly authentic in themselves. And as this keeps spreading, then we'll truly be able to all cohesively, the people, be able to stop this shit.
Amen.
But the lawmakers themselves, they're going to continue playing the game.
Yeah, it's hard. And that last part of what you said really resonates, like people actually hearing. And beyond hearing, like actually feeling the words and experiences that other people are having, I think is the part that's not happening. Otherwise, this wouldn't be happening if we were truly like listening and beyond listening, like feeling into what another human being's lived experience is. This wouldn't be happening. So I'm sure you feel this way too, but this is a spiritual issue. This lack of acknowledging another human being's humanity is a spiritual issue. You know, just like the color of a person's skin, gender identity, what other, you know, systemic harms and oppression has happened to a person is what I'm trying to say, is all of us have to go in within ourselves and seek out all of the ways in which we're not showing up for people that are being harmed in society. And that's not happening in our politics. Yeah, so we all got a lot of work to do, a lot of inward work to do.
Oh my God. Like, and the truth is that people still want to just point at one person or the other, but we're all like mirror images of each other. So if you're still voting and you're voting to help take away rights from people, then you're no better than the people who are coming up with the law. And you know what I mean? Like, if you are not in politics and you are still doing that same kind of shit just in your personal life, with your family, with your friends, if you're judging and you're trying to say, well, you can't be a part of my life because you do this or you wear that or you look like this or you're not that, then you're doing the same thing that they're doing. So I feel like there's definitely more of us who are not in political positions. If we get our shit together, they don't have any choice but to.
Amen. Absolutely. Okay, on a slightly lighter note, what is your number one tip to offer queer and trans youth specifically?
That's a good one. What comes to my mind first is to just spend more time getting to know yourself. And I know it sounds cliche, but I'm realizing more and more that being around people who just support you no matter where you are and no matter what you identify, no matter how many times you change it, there are people who will ride with you wherever you are. And to spend less time trying to get people to give you that, because when you're trying to force that, it just adds added stress to your life. It takes away from you being able to truly honor yourself and love yourself. We have, in a world of social media and internet access, there's a site I used to use called meetup.com. You can find anything or people to hang out with where you can make some new connections if the people who are not, who you are connected to, are not the most accepting and you feel like you're struggling to try to explain yourself and to get them to get it. I would like you all to spend less time with those people because they're likely to not get it, or it's going to take longer than what you need for them to get on board, and to just find yourself new connections and people who are going to be supportive. So that way you can really rest in who you are and really allow yourself to reach different levels of loving yourself. Because the people who are around you that just keep reminding you or pointing out things about you that they feel needs to be altered, that doesn't help your growth. So find supportive people to be around so that you can blossom.
Listen to Auntie Garland, honeys. Yes.
She's like, yes, let me check this off. Let me...
Oh my gosh. Well, if anything in this podcast, we've laughed the whole time. So I hope we have others laughing as well.
Probably the most gut-wrenching question was about the loss.
I know. I'm sorry. I had to ask it.
No, that's why I said on the sheet you gave me to sign, as you said, is there anything off limits? It's like, no.
So in brief, because we discussed this a lot, but what makes you feel the greatest sense of connection in the world?
Besides God, spiritually God, right? On this earth, my friends, I'm realizing so much more. I've been on the verge of tears almost all through this conversation, but I realized the importance, which ties into what I just said about being around people who really support you and love you. I'm also creating new connections as well with people who are actually on the path, right? On this spiritual journey, who have acknowledged that and who are interested in becoming their highest self. And so, yeah, so the connections with my friends, I kind of disconnected a little bit because I was working on some things and working through some things. Me and my boyfriend just moved in together a year ago. So there was all of that I had to go through. And sometimes, you know, you have to go through your process and your friends just can't be a part of that. And so now I'm coming back around where, you know, things are flowing a little bit more easy with our, you know, we had to get to know each other as living together. So that was a lot. And I got a new job. That was a lot. But I started realizing that something was missing and I did not really, really understand the value of the connections with my friends, those who have been there, and then those who are new that get me. And that's why I stressed in that last question that being around people that get you, it just makes it so much easier to have this human experience.
Makes for a much more peaceful and easeful existence.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So where is Ms. Auntie Garland going from here? What do you have planned?
Ms. Auntie Garland is planning to get this book out. And let me show.
Yes, share it. Get that big on the screen, honey.
This is the cover. One of my friends created the cover for me.
I love that. So it's called My Proof. Romance, His Friendship.
Yes. I would love to read the back, but they put like not for resale because this is just the proof. And then they cut out what I said on the back. But anyway, I'm doing an audio on it next month. I'll have it in Audible and it'll be available on Kindle. I think I'm just going to keep it in paperback. This is a hardcover. I was going to try hardcover, but I think I'm going to just keep it in paperback. And I'm hoping, and what I really want, and I'll share it with my community, is that this book actually takes me to the next place I want to be, which is I would like to spend more time writing. There's a lot of stories that I have in me. There's a lot of things I like to write about. And in this day where people don't read a lot and need stuff that's small, I'm like, that would be really easy. There's so many just small books and manuals that I can make about just even, some steps and that you can take just to get on the spiritual path and what that entails and, stuff like that. So, yeah, so that's what I'm visualizing for this next part of my life is to be able to make money. Let's say that I'm saying this out loud on your podcast, plus to the universe, to make money off of writing.
I love that. Yes. And with your passion and drive and your heart and your connection to source, whatever we want to call it, I definitely see that in your future. So
thank you.
Cheers and here's to allowing that process to unfold. That's amazing. So on that note, how can people find you if they'd like to get in touch with you?
I spend a lot more time on Instagram these days. So it's I am Lady Garland. There's no spaces or anything. It's just one word. I am Lady Garland. Instagram, the perfect place to touch base with me and or look at my interviews. Today, I guess, since we've done this podcast, I'll feature you on my story of when we did ours.
Yeah.
But I have many other great friends, that's in the community and everything that I have done interviews with. So if you guys just want to hear more from me, you can go to my page and listen to some of my show. It's called Finding Your Voice. So you can see more of that there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, my dear soul sister. It's so wonderful to touch base with you and just, reemerge on these topics that we enjoy talking about with each other and to see you blossom. I'm super excited to read your book when it comes to market. Please do let me know because I will share that on my social media and do everything we can to support one another in the community. That's definitely what our community needs most right now. So yes, thank you for being here. It's always lovely to be in your presence. And so everyone, please stay tuned for episode number 9 of Queer Story Time coming out in about 2 weeks. And otherwise, I hope all of you stay healthy and well. Hugs and love, everyone.
Hey, friends. I'm so delighted that you've made it this far. I sincerely hope that this episode has opened your heart and provided you with valuable insights into the lived experiences of those in gender and sexually expansive communities. There are several ways in which you can support this podcast. Make sure that you're subscribed if you haven't already done so, and be sure to share it with friends and family. Queer Storytime is a professionally produced podcast, which costs about $80 per episode. If you feel called to do so, I kindly ask that you support future episodes of this podcast by making a one-time or ongoing contribution that is sustainable to you. Links to contact me or to contribute to this podcast are found within the description of this episode. From the bottom of my queer heart to yours, I'm sincerely grateful for you tuning in to Queer Storytime, the podcast. Hugs and love, y'all. Until next time.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.